I'm Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Although today, this is really the Rev Thinking podcast, hosted by Rev Think's Joel Pilger. Joel talked to Promax president and CEO Steve Kazanjian about the upcoming Promax virtual experience, which is coming up July 7th, 8th, and 9th. And because it's virtual, we've still got room for you. Listen in to Steve and Joel, and then head over to promax.org to sign up for 3 days of education, inspiration, and community at the Promax virtual experience. Now here's Joel and Steve.
Hi, it's Joel Pilger, and you're listening to episode 88 of the Rev Thinking podcast.
Although sometimes it doesn't seem like it, there's enough work to go around for everyone, and all of us are made better by connecting with each other and building out the community and supporting each other and helping each other grow and thrive.
Welcome to Rev Thinking, the podcast for creative entrepreneurs who know the best way to deal with the future is to create it. This is the conversation between creative leaders and consultants, discussing what it really takes to run a thriving creative business.
Hey, it's Joel here at RevThink, where we exist to help creative entrepreneurs like you thrive in business and life and career. I'm not going to do too much of a setup for today's episode, actually, because I think it speaks for itself. I'll just tell you this, that Confab is a weekly forum that I lead. And each week in Confab, I get together with a group of owners where we process all the different areas that are involved in running a creative business. But each week we try to bring in a special guest, someone that might be a peer or an expert. And this week we had a conversation with Steve Kazanjian. He's the CEO at Promax. Now, Steve's an old friend of mine. And of course, I've been active inside of Promax for the better part of 15 years. And this year, Promax, of course, is responding to the COVID situation, just like all conferences, adapting and pivoting. And they are putting on the Promax virtual experience. And it's coming up next week. But the conversation that we had with Steve was so relevant and timely, we thought, you know, this would actually make a great podcast. The people at Promax asked us, hey, could you do us a favor? Could we release this on our podcast? And we thought, why not? This is great. It's benefit for the community, for everyone to hear what Promax is doing and what's coming up. So we thought, let's get this conversation out as quickly as possible. So I hope you enjoy my conversation between me and Steve Kazanjian.
Welcome, everyone. It's Wednesday, it's July the 1st, and welcome to this week's edition of Confab, where I'm pleased to invite in our special guest, Mr. Steve Kazanjian, who's the CEO at Promax. So Steve, I'm going to use that as the moment to bring you on camera, and please say hello, introduce yourself, tell us something about your exciting morning.
How are you guys? I see some familiar faces. I didn't realize that we were doing this live. I thought we were just recording this. So I feel like it's amazing that I have actually an audience right now. But that's a classic, Joel, like angle, like, hey, come on and do a podcast, record it. And next thing you know, it's like a whole bunch of people in the room together. So good to see you guys.
It's like turning the spotlight to you and saying, all right, you're on. Let's do this. Well, no pressure. No, we're going to make this comfortable and easy for everyone's benefit, and Steve, yours as well. What I'd love to do is, Steve, really just interview you, ask you a bunch of questions just about you and Promax and what the plans are that you guys have coming up for the conference. And we'll spend maybe half an hour going through that conversation. And then, of course, I'm going to open it up to some questions and comments from people that are here in the group.
Perfect.
Before we dive in, I want to also say, Tim, you're here with us. Please say hello to everyone in the group.
Hey, everybody in the group. Morning, Steve.
Good morning. And how are you?
Good to see you. I'm going to miss you seeing you live this year.
Well, I don't think you're going to see anyone live this year. So, I
think live, but well, not
specifically Promax. It's such a homecoming event for all of us. So,
oh, I know. It's definitely been quite a journey over the last, since March 13th. Well, actually, even before that, when we put a pause on the Europe conference early March. Yeah, but it's been extraordinary. Most, I'm sure, for all of us, it's been an extraordinary couple months of rebuilding and refocus and, you know, becoming, getting used to, you know, what the next 6 months are going to bring, right? The next 12 months are going to bring.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been a big challenge to figure out how to create value in this sort of new paradigm that we're all working our way through. So Steve, for your benefit, I'll just mention that everyone here is what you would collectively call agency owners. So these are owners of studios and production companies. And in Promax land, we use the term agency, which some of them may be unfamiliar with. But tell us a bit for anyone who's here who doesn't know what Promax is, which would, of course, terrify me. But what is Promax and what is your role there inside the organization?
Absolutely. So Promax is the nonprofit member association for the entertainment marketing industry. We represent all the major broadcasters, network, cable, OTT, and agencies, not just United States, but around the world. We were founded in 1956, and some of you know this story, but for sake of discussion, really at the birth of primetime. So that first primetime season was a 1955-56 season. So before that, you turn the TV on and it's snow, right? And a TV show comes on and snow. So 1955 was the first year that the big three not only counter-programmed against each other, but also counter-marketed against each other, forever changing the landscape. And so from that initial meeting of, 300 people to now we're dealing with 10,000 members globally with 11 conferences around the world, the association is absolutely transformed. I came up through the agency side myself through a really kind of pivotal moment. It was that transition from post houses into desktop, right? As used to be, you'd go into a bay and it would be $800, to $1,000 an hour. And, or you could buy a Mac, right? For at that point, it was probably $2,500 for everything you need.
Oh, yeah.
It was extraordinary for me as a young designer, it was an amazing time because, not only did you come and connect with your cohort, right? And learn best practices, you really felt that you were part of a community, and that community was there to help, elevate you and push you in your careers.
Yeah, and I'll say this, Steve, I appreciate so much. I've always said that I love the fact that you come from the agency or the more pejorative vendor background.
I
you bring
that
perspective,
that word, right?
Yeah. But I'll also say this for everyone's benefit here, that I started attending Promax, I want to say in maybe 04 or 05. So it's been maybe a 15-year run. And I will always have an affection and always a debt of gratitude to Promax because it was my studio's entree into the world of entertainment marketing, meaning we met all these big TV networks. We met the people in streaming and OTT and all this. And it was an incredible opportunity for us to be amongst build a community of clients, but also build a community of fellow agency owners as well. So it's had an enormous impact on my career. So that said, Steve, I'm really curious for everyone's benefit here. What's historically been the association's, say, benefit or role on the agency side? What's that looked like? And then, of course, I'm curious to hear how that's evolving.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can take it a lot of different levels. Purely from a transactional level. I mean, it is one of those really interesting spaces where from a business small agency business development standpoint, it's an opportunity to connect with potential clients, to understand what people are buying, what people are looking for, the evolutions of current trends from a marketing standpoint as well, and to be able to once again build out that network. But I think what's really important is that we also all need to realize that although sometimes it doesn't seem like it, there's enough work to go around for everyone, and all of us are made better by connecting with each other and building out the community and supporting each other and helping each other grow and thrive. So to me, that community concept of it, the community angle to it, is paramount to anything else. And I know when I had my agency, being able to go there and aspire to be those great studios of the time, but then also be able to develop my cohort at the same time, which just is incredibly, incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I remember, I'll never forget when you and I did a podcast a few years ago, and you said this phrase, the community of our peers is what sustains us throughout our careers. And I thought that was a really powerful insight because we often look at where we are now, where we're going to be maybe this year. But when you look in the scope of a career, it is this larger network of people that you're in a relationship that will always be part of what enables you to create value in the world and what helps you when you go through tough times and all these other things. And I've found that to be really true of Promax. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, look, we thank each other because Promax is nothing without the community that actually attends, supports, and develops content and inspires each other. So the affinity that I have towards the association is that as well. I remember vividly that first Promax I went to, which I think was like, I want to say it's probably 95. You know, I was a junior designer, motion graphics, broadcast design, we called it back then, and I had no idea how to even explain to my parents what I did for a living. It was very, very difficult back then, which I'm sure some of you guys back in your early career was the same kind of way. But going into that room and being surrounded by thousands of other people who did the same thing you did, I mean, was incredibly inspiring, right? And then as you grow in your career, you connect with the association on different levels. So from a business owner standpoint, you know, the peer group that's going on right here is fantastic because, you know, maybe you're dealing with a liquidity issue. Maybe you're dealing with cash flow. Maybe you're dealing with inspiration or attrition or whatever it is from all aspects of small business ownership, knowing that there's a peer group that you can connect with in a non-competitive way is fantastic.
And I'll even give a few examples because, of course, when you attend the conference, there's moments when the entire community gets together and you're in a room with a couple thousand people and you're seeing the state of the art, the latest award-winning work, all these kinds of things. But also these smaller sessions where there might be a head of a network or a head of an agency that's talking about their latest best practices. And there's always these moments where these intersections, and this is what Promax, I think, has always excelled at, is I can go up and speak to that person after they deliver their session. There are opportunities for networking and connecting and actually making introductions. And I'll even say this, speed dating. I remember when speed dating came to Promax and I thought, oh my gosh. And I remember vividly, I got a ticket to made it through the lottery and got a ticket to speed dating and picked up a client from Showtime. The very first time I did speed dating. And I thought,
that's awesome.
This is great. I mean, yeah. this is what it's all about. So what's it looking like this year? I know obviously a lot of change. Can you give us a sense of what Promax is?
No, it's all the same. What are you talking about? Nothing's changed whatsoever.
Just gonna turn on a camera and just invite everybody to watch from remotely, right?
Yeah, right. No, what we've done is we've looked at it and said, okay, you know, we know that for us to be successful, this experience has to be additive to the fact because it's virtual. Like, what are things that you can do virtually that you can't do physically? And so we've been challenging ourselves with some of that. Now, some of it is, it is what it is, right? As far as, you know, you can't get into a studio, so there's a level of production value. But we are asking, you know, a lot of our partners who are building out sessions to actually produce that session out and deliver, you know, a prepackaged, like, high production value kind of session. We're doing a bunch live as well. But one of the things that we're doing that I'm really excited about, and, you know, it's a nod to Reddit's Ask Me Anythings or AMAs. So that after a lot of the breakout sessions, we're having, so you'll have a 45-minute session. And then after that, you can jump into another room and actually talk with the speakers. So have that opportunity to ask questions, to network, and to connect. So the equivalent of, you know, to your point, Joel, when the session's over and you go up to the stage and strike up a conversation with the speaker, we want to make sure that those elements aren't lost as well. So that's interesting, right? Because it allows you to either be, depending on if you're a voyeur and you just want to listen in, or you actually can pose a question and really start developing those relationships virtually. One of the things that we're also doing is we partnered with a tech platform called Brain Dates. Brain is in mind. And what they're doing is that it's a networking connection platform. So it's not dissimilar to when you're at the bar, you know, downstairs after the sessions are over, or, you know, you're standing in line to get in a room, striking up a conversation with someone. A lot of times it's really hard to do because, you know, no one really likes to, you know, just walk up, you know, cold, if you will. But what if you could actually strike up a conversation with someone who you knew shared the same interest with you or wanted to talk about the same topics as you? And so that's what this does. So you basically, you log in, you submit what we'll call a topic, you know, and set a brain date. And then other people, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, you can actually go in and jump into that room and schedule time with them. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the opportunity for people to actually develop relationships that are not the way you would have done in the past. And I'm also hopeful that as we move forward into 2021 and beyond, that we'll see that the thought, I should say, is that it's going to be a blend between physical and digital. I don't ever want to back out from the digital or the virtual, I should say, because I do think that's going to be a way that a lot of us are going to be doing business in the future, not just through to when there's a vaccine, but beyond that, right? Because we're going to become used to this structure.
Yeah.
So,
well, that makes me wonder, do you think there, I mean, it sounds like there actually might even be some benefits to this virtual format, that the idea of being able to actually say, hey, who wants to have a conversation around this topic? And you can actually, you'll be able to actually put that topic out there and maybe invite people to it. How will that work?
That's right. So say, Joel, so say you want to talk about what's the role of podcasting as a, you know, additional narrative story, you know, a storyline experience or whatever. And you go in and throw that up there, and other people, say other marketers or creatives who are looking for to extending, you know, a brand across podcasts or across the second screen, that's an opportunity for you to jump in and just start networking and having that conversation. So what I love about it from an agency standpoint is that it's not you guys going in and saying, look at my reel, go to my website or anything like that. It's much more about, hey, this is how I think. Right? These are the issues we see in the industry, and this is how I think we can actually solve them. So it moves you past the first 20 minutes of a conversation of finding commonality and jumps you right into it.
Yeah. And I wonder too, you're reminding me of when you're at Promax and you're there in person, there's certainly an advantage if you're extremely extroverted, as I've become over the years, that I'm not afraid to walk up to somebody and look down at their badge and say, oh, hi, so-and-so from NBC Universal.
But you're like this. You're one of a few people who will do that. You and
I've had to learn it.
That too.
So I wonder, in a way, do you think the online, the virtual experience will maybe put less of an advantage for people like me and help those people that don't have to walk up and feel that awkward moment of, am I going to really look down at this person's
absolutely.
Badge and bust them out?
Yeah, I mean, look, absolutely. I remember once again when I had my agency. I mean, no matter how extroverted you are, it's no one likes doing that, right? Because no one likes rejection, and you also know you also feel like you're bugging someone at the same time. You shouldn't have any issue with sending out, you know, emails, right? Introduction. I mean, that's a low pressure sense, but obviously those never get. Those just wash through, if you will. So the idea that you can network with someone and you can have a conversation around like how you think, not just what you do, to me is incredibly more valuable. Our hope that this platform will be robust, and we can see that as something that carries through, you know, for the next 8-12 months.
Yeah, for sure. I like the term brain date to me is somewhat inspiring because it seems to suggest right off the bat, if we connect here, we're going to share what's on our minds and what we're thinking about. So maybe that's a good segue for me to ask this question. Topically, what are going to be some of the highlight topics of this year? Because I know there's a lot of things on my mind, everyone's minds here and in the industry. But let me let you answer it. What are going to be the top things people are talking about?
It's interesting. The last 6 months have been obviously an extraordinary journey of your putting on events. So when we started this back in last November and started programming it, one of the things that we started thematically going down was this concept of always on, meaning that viewers are always on, the consumers are always on. There are all these new ways to be on all these different screens and platforms, et cetera. So as marketers or creatives, you have to always be on as well. That worked all the way up. And that is still, if you look at the website, that is the undercurrent and the underpinning of the website still at the same time. But as we move through into post-COVID, pre-protests, we started looking at, and as fall season started being pushed, and as everyone was shooting from their basement, and as live production stalled, et cetera, then we started hearing the thread that we started hearing through everyone was this concept around, you know, what's the way forward? So how do we as individuals, we as networks, we as agencies, we as creatives, actually a collective move forward? And it was interesting because if you're a showrunner, that's a really different conversation than if you're a you know, a designer or a studio exec. The Black Lives Matter protests started coming into place. We knew that we needed to shift everything very quickly and very intentfully. And we knew that we had an obligation as the association for the industry that we had we have a platform, we have a voice, and we can amplify those voices. Within a week, we shifted everything significantly. So our keynote, our morning keynote is Don Lemon. We all know him because he anchors CNN Tonight. So he's going to be talking about the role of media and storytelling and social justice. In addition, he has a podcast too called Silence is Not an Option. That's tied into Verne Myers, who's the vice president of inclusion strategy for Netflix. She has a TED talk that's viewed almost 3 million times. And then we have like three or four other sessions that are focused on like, so, you know, you protested during Black Lives Matter. You even celebrated Juneteenth. Now what? Right. And then there's another session as well called Bravery is Required. And it's really about, you know, our obligation and our responsibility to understand, you know, systemic racism and how we play into that, our unconscious biases, and how we understand that and how do we shift that. And then how do we break a specific narrative like stereotype, threat, and similar. So we're going through the front door in these conversations in a very intentful and significant way. So I believe it's going to be, from a conversation standpoint, it's going to be a very different ProMax, but I think it's exactly where we need to be right now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm honestly really envious because when I looked at the lineup of speakers and experts that you've been able to bring together, the diversity.
And once again, like a lot of this is like in two to three weeks, right? Which is the speed that everything is moving now, right?
Yes. Yeah, but those voices and that diversity and all those perspectives, I immediately thought, wow, where else can I go to hear these perspectives in my industry? So that I think is going to be really exciting. Is that if I'm an agency owner, I want to know, okay, how do I work with my clients and market in a way that is relevant and not tone deaf in these times?
Absolutely. And I think it's beyond, I think, look, we are, all of us shape culture on a daily basis, right? We have an enormous responsibility and we're in a critical time in the growth of our collective social consciousness to do something more significant than we're doing now and to understand what we haven't done and what we need to do, what we ought to do. And how can we now collectively, because of the groundswell that's been happening, be there for each other, be there for those who need us to be there for them and push it forward. And it's as simple as changing a shot selection. It can be as significant as championing the rights of those who need to be championed. And, you know, we can't forget that we have an enormous responsibility to do that. And also to be aware that we don't have all the answers, right? But collectively, going back to the conversation we had earlier, we as a community can come together and move it forward.
Well, I'm reminded of this phrase, but thank you for saying that. I'm reminded of this phrase somebody once said, I heard in a sermon that they said, we are what we worship. And the idea is that we are, as people, what we give our attention to and what we aspire and what we want to become. And I'm always encouraging, especially agency leaders, like you do have the power to not only choose your clients, but to stand for something and have a purpose, have a mission, something you want to see happen in the world, and then go find those people that believe what you believe to move those things forward. Because we can celebrate the lesser aspects of our world, or if you're passionate about these other
things, then get out there and find the people that likewise believe what you believe and push those things forward. I think Promax can be a great platform for that. Let me remind everyone here that I would love to get some questions or some comments for Steve. We're going to try and spend another 15 minutes in this conversation. So feel free to drop in a note. I know if quite a few of you are here are already friends and family in the Promax community. So if you're a Promax past attendee, give me a little shout out in the chat, because I know I see Diana Dixon here. I see Shauna. I remember you were at Promax. Or who here is thinking about attending, but maybe just needs more details, more information? Feel free to drop your comment here. So Steve, when is the conference? When does this all get underway?
Next week, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I know.
You're nuts. What are you doing here? You can't spend an hour with us. You got so much to do.
Because I love you, Joel. That's why.
Well, you're very kind. You're very kind. Well, look, I'm not gonna mince words. The role that Promax plays in the lives of the community, and I'm gonna especially, of course, call out the agency owners, is incredibly significant. And I've always been appreciative of the way that community building has been able to affect so many careers. I am gonna miss, however, I'm gonna miss the annual reunion, because you and I know every year at the, you know, in LA at LA Live, everyone gets together in the bar there at the JW or what have you.
Yeah.
And we're going to miss that.
I mean, it's so weird that the idea of, I mean, look, it's going to be interesting over the next year, how we collectively, reacclimate with each other in physical spaces and what that looks like, right? I know some people right now are, hey, my quarantine community is this big, and other people have a huge group where they've all, made pacts with each other. And I think that, thinking back at the bar downstairs and how packed you are with everyone else just seems like that was like eons ago, right?
Totally. I know. It's hard for me to imagine a year without being with my tribe, right? All those agency owners that we all go mingle and hang out and maybe have one drink too many. It's sort of an annual rite of passage, but you're probably seeing some of these comments from people that passed it. Diana Dixon and Lou and Ashley Kohler. I love this, that some of these people have been on the network side, right? They started attending Promax because Diana was at Discovery or Ashley was at Cartoon Network. Now they're on the agency side and they still find value there.
Yeah. It's for those of you who haven't gone, it's an amazing community. It really is something that will help you in your career, and you're going to get out of it what you put into it, right? You can just go there and sit in the sessions. But really, I mean, there's three pillars to Promax. One is obviously the content, right? And the professional development. Next one is the inspiration from the awards and some of the best of sessions. And then finally, it is the community, and the community to what we were talking about earlier. For those of you who are earlier on in your career, and those of you who've been doing it for a while, we all know that community that you build is what's going to drive, your business. It's going to drive your relationships. It's going to evolve you, I think, creatively as a person at the same time.
Yeah, I'm tempted here to tap Miss Diana Dixon, because she's a mutual friend of ours going way back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I was really curious to hear from her. Diana, do you have a question for Steve about how the conference is going to work this year, or maybe what, looking beyond the conference? I'm really curious to hear from you, Steve. What do you have planned as almost the follow-up, or how to keep those conversations going?
It's like, you're going to make me come off of my picture and go on video, right?
It's okay. We're all friends here, Diana.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I think I've adapted pretty well for virtual webinar experiences that have been happening. And I feel like in some ways I like them more, because sometimes when we're at the conference, it's great, all the people, but I like getting the information. And now I don't have to worry about running late from a meeting. I can actually just be right there when the webinar starts. So I'm really excited about that and all the things we're going to learn this year. But I've been going to Promax since the 90s as well, from the client side. And I was saying on chat to Lou that New Orleans was my first one. And I actually paid for my own way to go because Starz wouldn't pay unless you were up for an award. And I was just a production assistant, entry-level producer. And it was worth every penny to pay for myself and go on my own. And it was just such an amazing experience. And the inspiration you get every year, the sense of community and the connection and the information mm-hmm. just to stay on top of your game, it's so invaluable. I wouldn't be where I am in my career without ProMax. So thank you, Steve.
Well, it's you. It's I mean, we just build a stage metaphorically and physically, right? And it's what you guys do with it there.
They also have great programs outside of the year-long thing. I just wanted to say too, which I've participated in this year, the Thrive Leadership Program, mm-hmm. which has been amazing. It's been, you know, typically geared towards corporate network side, but I was the sole vendor this year. But I loved it because when you're running an agency, you're not always taught how to be a leader and how to lead your people and like learn your leadership style and how to, you know, interact with others and a way to be your best self as a leader. So I love the program. It was amazing. And I highly recommend it to anyone else who wants to participate in that next year.
Perfect.
Yeah, Diana, you're reminding me of the point in my story when we had done a network rebrand for a small regional network, thought, you know, maybe we should enter it in that, what's that thing called, that ProMax award thing? And then we found out we were nominated. So we said, you know, maybe we should go to this conference in New York. What the heck? And it was like the scales falling away from my eyes because I am suddenly in this community of people that I said, oh my gosh, I want to hang out here all the time. And that's where I met Diana and Garnsey and other people from Discovery who invited us to come to DC and present to them. And then that started a 10-year relationship of doing work for all these incredible mm-hmm. networks, but really more importantly, all these incredible people. I mean, the community is just been, as you say, Steve, it's part of what defines me and my career.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if it weren't for that like emotional connection I had in my formative years with it, for sure.
I'm gonna call on Ashley Kohler because I said, hey, you mind jumping into this conversation? Because you've got some history with ProMax going back to the network side. Can I
lure
you
on? Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah. Hey, sure. I mean, I'm curious more about how you guys structure programming and how you select speakers. It was interesting for me because I was there during a period of time where we would leave with armloads of statues, Cartoon and Adult Swim. We were, you know, I was there for a very fun period of time for us, especially going to the award shows. And it was when ProMax was going city to city, so it was a lot of fun to go to all the different places. And one of my favorite quick stories was that the entire department, we had the budget to send the entire department during that period of time. And one year, for whatever reason, the one department assistant was the only person the department wasn't allowed to go, and who was also a very, very much a prankster. She was, and now Michael O'Lean, who's the head of Adult Swim, was she was his assistant. So as repayment, for whatever reason, I can't believe she did this, she entered everybody's names phonetically into their name badges for ProMax. So when we got there, the spelling on all of our names was like A-S-H-L-E-E-E-E, or like all of our names for the entire time we were there on all our name badges. And that's how she got back to all of that was her payback for all of us. So the whole week or the whole trip, we had all these crazy names on our name badges. But anyway, a lot of crazy stories while we were there. But we obviously always loved the programming, got a lot out of it. Those who attended instead of just going to parties the whole time. But I'm curious, like, it was interesting going from being a network, somebody to starting a company and then it's shifting over to kind of being someone that's going around trying to chase all of the network somebodies. And wondering how you make these selections for panels and feeling like if you are a big established company with a big established roster, you got those seats on the panels. And, you know, if you guys ever look to the more up and comers for seats on these panels and how you might get that light shined in your direction at some point.
Absolutely. We, as much as we can, we try to blend out both, you know, like you said, like huge established, but as well as smaller indie. But across the board, the way it works with the content committee is there's specific themes that we're running after to actually lock down. So for instance, this year there's specific agencies that we're doing unique and smaller agencies that we're doing unique and different things with a really interesting point of view that we actually like reached out to. Now, conversely, you know, like Bark Bark is a good example. So they're doing, if you know Bark Bark, they're doing a session this year, and they reached out to me right after the initial protest and said, we need to do a session around this. So Tabitha over there said, this is what I want to do. This is a session. And she came with a really unique point of view. Here are the people I want to bring on it. This is a conversation we're going to have, et cetera, et cetera. And we're like, game on, let's do this. So what doesn't work, and it's kind of like an inside tip, people reach out all the time and say, hey, I want to be on a panel. That doesn't really help because I don't know what that means, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of like, okay, you want to be on a panel, but we all know, we all have gone to those panels that are panels of people who want to be on a panel, and they're really boring, right? Because there's not a really distinct or sharp or thoughtful point of view. It's just people getting on something. So Ashley, I would say to you is to say, hey, this is what I'm seeing right now, right? Here's a big problem statement. Here's how we solve it, or here's how we collectively move forward to have a conversation around it. So the more baked it is, if you will, and the more that it's connected to a current theme that's going on in the industry, the more that it's going to be that's going to rise to the top. Because it just, yeah.
I think it's great advice. I think for me, it's almost like advice that I needed when I was starting out, and sort of, because I'm 15 years later, and there was, I think I'm in a different position now. Now I get asked to speak on panels in a different way. And when I was starting, I sort of was, trying to figure those things out, and, you know, how does a little guy get this? And I think it's sort of, you feel like you're fighting against something that's not really there. And that's the knowledge you need to understand, is that you don't just get asked to be on a panel necessarily. You need to create the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's right. Exactly what, you know, everybody needs to hear what you're saying.
And there are some small agencies who reached out this year. We're going to be programming content over the course of the whole year. So outside of the PromX experience, which is next week, we're going to be doing on a global level with our partners in Asia and UK and Europe as well. And so there's going to be a ton of opportunity year round for all that type of content. Now, in that context, they may not be, you know, a topic that you're going to, that, you know, 600 people are going to want to listen to, but maybe there's a good 150 who are really interested in that. But I also say that the more narrow cast that topic is, the more value it is to that, you know, that audience. For instance, and a couple of agencies that had reached out, we were programming when we were going to be physical, we were programming this out into the conference, which were things around different types of retainer models of how people have been working with clients. So whether locking down, not just project-based, but locking down specific types of arrangements, different financial arrangements that I thought were super interesting. Once again, super narrow cast, but to everyone, you know, on this Zoom right now, I could see could be incredibly interesting, right? Around that. So like, oh my gosh, how are you doing that? That works. How did you talk to the client about that? Those types of things. To your point earlier, the goal is to develop that year round content for our members that is pushed out live every week, but also has a, let's say, for lack of a better word, a repository or library of content that's added all the time there as well. So Ashley, say you have, you know, I'm really interested in, as a good example, there was a music house that was interested in just doing some lessons on how to perfect the perfect scratch VO, right, or the perfect scratch track for a spot that may not be something that, once again, you're not going to put it in a breakout room because you're not going to have 600 people who are going to want to see it. But something that's sitting out there that you can look at and go, oh, wow, that's really interesting. I would love to see that. And it's great content. It connects the community together as well. It's resource sharing. And those are the types of things.